Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
For those of you that have your bulletin there, you will notice that there's a cartoon in there, and it shows two pictures. One of a guy digging, going towards what appears to be diamonds. And the lower panel of it shows another guy who's given up digging, just shy of reaching the diamonds. And today's message was kind of inspired, actually, by that little cartoon that somebody posted the other day. And I wanted to share some words from a song with you, and I had asked Katrina if maybe she had a copy of the words or the soundtrack or something, and actually, it took me about 4 days to find even the words to the chorus. But those words go something like this. I love him too much to fail him now, too much to break my vow. I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow, and I love him too much to fail him now. And kind of in my mind, I can hear somebody singing those words as I heard it sung many years ago. And I remember back to a service where I heard that song sung. And I remember you could see an anointing upon the face of the person who was singing the song. It's been so long ago that I don't recall if it's a man or a woman that was singing, but I do know that you could feel a presence from God that was there in the midst of that people as we sang. And you know, one of the things that we really need in church today, and when I want to remind everybody, when I speak of church, I don't speak of the building. The building is meaningless when it comes to that. The church is the body, it's the congregation, it's the people that come. You are the church. But what we need is that move of the Holy Spirit in our midst to be able to come in and have a service where we can feel the presence of God in such a real way. And I know in times past there were people who, oh, if you didn't run the aisles, if you didn't jump the pews, if you didn't do this or you didn't do that, if you didn't have a Glory Land march, some people probably don't even know what that is anymore. But if you didn't have all of these things, it was a dead service. Well, it was nice once in a while to have a service like that. There's nothing wrong with showing a little emotion in the presence of God. But sometimes when God's presence is there, it's what they call that holy hush. It's quiet. You could hear the pin drop, proverbially. But you could feel that presence of the Holy Spirit. You were bathed in it. We've talked recently about a baptismal service that we're going to have coming up and things of that nature. And it was almost like you were being immersed in a presence there as the Holy Spirit came upon that place. We used to talk about it, an anointing so thick, so real, that you could almost cut it with a knife. It was that thick. And we need that in our midst today as a group, as a congregation. Not only this church, but every church that's out there. They all need it. When we get together to worship God, we need God's presence in our midst. Do we love him too much to fail him now? And as I was searching for the words to this song this week, I couldn't really remember it. I just remembered some of the words because it's been so many years since I'd heard the song. And I had the words a little bit jumbled up, and I was thinking, I love him too much to turn back now. And won't you know, as I look, there's a couple of secular songs out there that have that title. And I kept going through, wading through all of that, and did find one church song that kind of has some of the same words, but I thought, that's just not it. Do we really love him too much to fail him? Do we love him too much to turn back? Do we love him too much to break our vow? Anybody here ever make a vow? Every one of us have at some point or another. You got married? Anthony's the only one that's, and Casey, I guess, back there. Only ones here that haven't made that vow yet. Well, Sammy's not in here right now. But when you get married, you make a vow. And we look at the world today and we see there are a lot of broken vows. In fact, it's getting to the point there are more broken vows, forgotten vows, than there are vows that are being kept. We come before God and we make vows to serve God. God, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But do we always keep our vows that we make to God? It's sad to say, but a lot of those vows are not kept. And I know sometimes that we will make a vow to God and we will set out with all good intent to keep it. Maybe something comes along and gets in our path and we try and we struggle with it. And sometimes we may fall back a little bit. Nothing wrong there if you continue to go on and you continue to try your best to keep that vow that you've made to God and do what it takes to serve God. But today it's just too easy to say, oh, well, things are going pretty good anyway. You know, I can sit back and if I don't keep my vow to God, it doesn't really matter. But God keeps records. He knows what you've spoken to him and what you've said you're going to do. As I mentioned in the cartoon that's in the bulletin, the man's digging away in the upper panel. His goal is to reach that big cluster of diamonds that's buried in the earth. I can imagine digging a tunnel like that with a pick and a shovel. Would be hard work. It would be laborious work. It would be a struggle sometimes. And I'm sure you would get very tired as you did it. And we see in the other panel, the guy has gotten within inches, it appears, of reaching his goal. But he's turned around. He's got his pick across his shoulder. And he's walking out just short of reaching the goal. Did you ever have that happen to you in life with something? You set out to do something and finally you got tired and you gave up. And then after you gave up, you found out you just missed it. Just barely missed it. That happens to us sometimes on our jobs especially. We need to continue to fight the good fight, to stay the course. And I'm sure that in our lifetimes, and even though some of you haven't been around that many years, some of us that have, there are times in our lives that you're struggling and you begin to think, maybe I should just give up. Anybody ever feel that way? Maybe I should just give up. I mean, look at it. I've known pastors who struggled, the congregation, whatever, and finally they said, I can't take it anymore, I quit. I'm not condemning them, and I'm not bad-mouthing, I'm just saying, but if they had not given up, who knows what might have happened. They might have just been short of the breakthrough. And I would hate to give up and find out I was just inches away from achieving the breakthrough that God had planned. All of us come to crises in our lives when we feel like it's just too much. Just can't do it anymore. Sometimes in our physical bodies we come to a situation like that and we reach a point where we have to. We have to say, I cannot do this anymore. But we can't do that in our spiritual life. We've got to continue to fight the good fight. We've got to continue. Besides, who's doing battle with us? We're not doing battle alone. Did you ever stop to think of that? We're not the only one fighting this battle. God said that He was on our side. And He's going to see us through. The Apostle Paul wrote a number of books that are recorded in the New Testament. And he's writing in the book of 2 Timothy. And Timothy is a young man that Paul regards as a son. Wasn't his natural son, but he regarded him like a son. And some of the older folks here, there may be people in your life and you have young men in your life that you may regard like a son, even though they're not your natural son. But you mentor them and you help give them instruction and you help give them guidance. And this is what Paul is doing here as he writes to Timothy. He's going to give Timothy some guidance. It's not only guidance for Timothy, but it's also guidance for the rest of us as we go through our lives. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight and finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now that word course, that's in the King James Bible, it's in the Geneva Bible that I just read from, but several other translations translate that word course. I have finished my race. I looked up the definition of the word that is used there, and that word that's translated course that we just read could also be translated, as I said, race or career. So he could have said, I have finished my career. He could have said, I finished my race. Time's about up for me. But I've kept the faith. And I'm now ready. I don't want any of us to come to the point in our life and no one of us have a guarantee of what tomorrow brings. But I don't want any one of us in our life to say, as we are getting ready to cross over, I just wish I'd have hung on a little bit longer. I just wish I'd have done that. I want all of us to be able to say, I have served God to the best of my ability right up to the end. And I realize sometimes as you age, especially, your abilities change. And maybe you can't do certain things you used to do. But believe me, God will help you do what He wants you to do. He's not going to leave you hanging out there. He's not going to leave you to do it by yourself. He's going to walk with you. Paul goes on to write in that same book, that same chapter, back though at the first verse, because here's what he's doing. He's talking to Timothy and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, which shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, and in His kingdom. Then he goes on to say in verse 2 to Timothy, and he's exhorting us as well, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, improve, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do what God puts on your heart to do. You've got to be ready to serve God, irregardless of what odds and obstacles are coming against you. Is it always easy to get up and preach on Sunday morning? No. And I'll have to say, there have been some Sundays I would have much rather stayed home in bed, really. But God said, you got to go do it. You got to go do it. We were talking last night as we had family over, and we were reminiscing about some things that had happened, and I was telling them about reminding them of the time that we had this huge doghouse that was custom built for us. And it was built out of 4x8 sheets of 3/4 inch plywood. And the roof of it was 2 4x8 sheets of plywood. And it was made where that you could take and remove the one panel to get access inside this huge doghouse. Well, one day I went out to remove the top because I needed to get into it. I popped it off and I lost control of it. The thing fell, bounced, came down and hit me on the foot. Broke my toe. And I had to preach the next morning in Palm Springs, California, about 100 miles away. Had to call somebody to come and get me. Casey, pause the program, please. Paul also said, as he's telling him to be instant in season and out of season, to improve, rebuke, exhort. He goes on, as he's telling him these things, but he also gives him a warning here. And I think this is somewhat where we see the church world today. Now let's back up just a second here. He's told Timothy, as he's also telling us, that we're to be ready to do these things. Are we really ready to do some of these things sometimes? Are we really putting ourselves into the place and into the situation where we can do these things sometimes? Because Paul goes on here then in verses 3 through 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he says, "For the time will come when they will not suffer wholesome doctrine, but having their ears itching, shall after their own lusts get themselves a heap of teachers." That was not only directed to the folks of Timothy's time, but it's directed to the folks of our time as well. A lot of people don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. Because you can cherry pick things out of the Bible. And when you do that, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. You can make it agree with your belief, your doctrine, your religion, however you want to make it. And you can prove anything is right or wrong that way. They won't endure sound doctrine. They won't endure sound teaching. They want something that is going to tickle their ears. They want something that is going to make them feel good. And we live in an era of the feel-good church. I'm surprised somebody really hasn't named a church the First Church of Feel-Good. Back in the 70s, I believe it was the 70s, possibly early 80s, but I believe the 70s, a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson played a character called the Reverend Leroy. And the Reverend Leroy was the pastor of the First Church of what's happening now. And there actually ended up being a church named that, a real church named that, and guess what? The pastor's name was the Reverend Leroy. But we don't want sound doctrine. We want what makes us feel good. Don't preach sin in the church because people will feel bad. Well, I'd rather have them feel bad and get to heaven where they're going to feel good all the time then. Or they can feel good now and miss heaven and feel bad all the time for eternity. Which is the better deal? We're only in this thing down here for a season. We're only in this thing for a moment. But eternity is forever. And you have to choose, which do you want most? Do you want to feel good here? Or do you want to spend eternity with God and feel good forever? They won't endure sound doctrine. They, having their ears itching, shall after their own lust get themselves a heap of teachers. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be given unto fables. The world we live in today. What do we want in church? What do we want in church? Do we want sound doctrine? Well, I got news. Sound doctrine won't necessarily fill the pews. That's obvious. I talked with a pastor friend of mine the other day, and he said, "How's your church going?" He said, "I'll bet the hardest thing you're having is getting people to want to come to church." And all we've got to do is look around and see that's the case. I got too many other things to do. I'm too busy. Some of them will be proverbially too busy when the trumpet sounds. They'll say, "God, I'm too busy to come up right now. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that." And they lose out. Too many other things are important, and we put too many other things first. I mentioned two weeks ago, the things that should come first in our lives. And we've got it all messed up anymore, because we've got a lot of things that come before God in our life anymore. First thing in our life should be what? God. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, some people disagree and say the first thing should be family. But if you put God first, He'll take care of family. We try to take care of family, and we may think we're doing a good job sometimes when we're turning out to be miserable failures. Look at some of the families today. Their parents, some of the young people out there especially, their parents thought they were doing a good job because they were their kid's buddy. And they gave them everything they wanted. And they turned out to be a group of spoiled, rotten, good-for-nothings, basically. And I know that's some harsh words, but you look out there, and I talk to people time after time, and I see so many people today where the grandparents are raising the grandkids because the kids were spoiled, rotten brats who don't know, care about anybody but themselves. Just me. I'm first. But if God comes first, yeah, God can come first in our life, and things can still turn out like that sometimes. Doesn't mean it's necessarily the parents' fault. But there's a lot of parents out there that could have prevented some of these things by just simply applying a little discipline once in a while, instead of giving little Johnny and little Susie whatever they wanted. Put God first. And if you put God first, He'll direct you. And then what you do, you will do to help try to help them build character and help try them to build a life. Given unto fables. What's a fable? It's essentially a fairy tale. You know, it's a story that somebody made up. Some fables were made up to get points across. And some fables were made up just to entertain. And some fables were made up to spread untruth. We know, for example, that the three bears, or not the three bears, but the three little pigs, didn't really build these houses, you know. And the big bad wolf didn't really come along and blow them down and whatever. But it was made to illustrate a point. Well, today we try to make up fables about things that have to do with God, and we want to make it come out to look like we are becoming the heroes in here. And I see so much false garbage presented today in the name of God. Preach the truth. People won't necessarily like you because you did. But you know what? It's when you stand before God on that day, He can look at you and say, "Good, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you preach the truth. I don't want him to look at me and say, Ken Unger, you preached for 50-some years, and I don't know who you are anymore. I want him to, when I stand before him, I want him to just simply utter the words, well done. We were talking about being failures the other day. A lot of people are considered failures by the world when God considers them a success. Because what's a success in God's eyes isn't necessarily a success in man's eyes. Because it does make a difference. We need to please God. Scripture in there says something about pleasing God and not man, and I can't recall it right at the moment, but that's what we need to do in our Christian walk, is we need to remember that we are here to please God and not man. And we're going to tick man off every once in a while. And I know some people want to tell you as a Christian, you got to please everybody. You got to make everybody happy. Don't upset anybody. Don't do this or don't do that to tick them off. Sometimes if you're trying to tell them the truth, you got to do it. And I know I've probably made a few people mad over my lifetime. And if you've been serving God to the best of your ability, you have too. Some people aren't going to like you. Face it. You're not going to be everybody's buddy and everybody's friend if you're serving God. There's people out there that's going to hate you. But sometimes they may hate you the rest of their life almost, and then at that last moment they realize, hey, he was telling me the truth. And you know what? Even if they give their heart and life to God just before they draw their last breath, that's the important thing. Getting them into the kingdom of God. It's hard sometimes as we walk this Christian walk. It's a struggle. And sometimes the longer we walk it, the harder it seems to get. But the goal's in sight. We don't always see that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. But we know it's there. We know just a few more days, and it'll be done. Then I'm with God for all eternity. That's the goal. I don't want to struggle all my life and then say, well, I never found all these things that I preached about or that I talked. I'm just going to quit right now and give it up and walk away and miss all that God has in store for me. I don't want to go a distance and turn around and go back because I got tired. I want to fight the good fight. I want to stay the course. And whether that course be translated race, career, whatever, I want to keep on keeping on. I mentioned Wednesday night at Bible study that there was some talk among some of my preacher friends the other day, and we were talking about retirement. How many of you here, some of you are a ways away from that point, some of you not so. How many of you plan to retire someday? Yeah, there's a couple of hands gone up. Some of you got to that point. Yeah, Anthony's still got about 40-some years to go, but he's got plans to retire someday. Nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to your Christian walk, when it comes to your ministry, and what is a minister? He's a messenger. Some of us stand behind the pulpit and deliver sermons. Rest of us do it one-on-one with people. But you're a minister out there. You're being a messenger of God. Is there a retirement for that? Is there a time to retire? And the consensus in our discussion group was never. Never. You don't reach a retirement age. Oh, you may have to slow down a little bit. And you may not be able to do some of the things you used to do, but there's never a retirement. And we were discussing back and forth, and I mentioned a couple of pastors I knew in California. One who went to be with the Lord at the conclusion of his Easter Sunday message. Another who, right in the middle of his message, went to be with the Lord. And I commented, what a way to go. Amen. Somebody else said, that's the way I want to go. Then they said, my wife said that might scare the church. And I said, if that's the case, they need to get scared. It's time to keep on keeping on. We've gone too far to turn back. We've gone too far to fail. The goal is in sight. Oh, maybe we can't physically see it, but we know it's in sight. It's just ahead. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you that you love us so much and that you care about us so much. And I pray, Father, for everyone that's in this congregation today and everyone that may hear this message, Father. Father, they will be touched today. And if some are struggling, Father, and some are thinking, maybe I just can't do it anymore, Father, that you will give them new encouragement, Father. And Father, that this word would touch their heart. And Father, maybe there's someone that's going to hear this message, Father, that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I pray that you would speak to their heart today. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.